May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Just a reminder of some important foundational theological truths, and that is that Jesus was 100% deity and is 100% deity, but he's also 100% humanity. And the life that he lived on earth, he lived out of his 100% humanity. He was both the Son of God and the Son of Man. 1 Corinthians 15 says that he came as the second Adam. And so Jesus clothed himself in humanity, and he lived a life of faith as a Spirit-filled man. Therefore, Jesus wasn't just an example for us in the life that he lived. He was an example of us in the life that he lived. And there's a difference. He was the author and the perfecter of the life of faith. And every Christian is called to live by faith. So I really want to talk to you a little bit about Jesus' experience in the wilderness. But laying that foundation of what I just said is important, because Jesus went into the wilderness and faced 40 days. That's what Scripture says. The language is not that he got tempted there at the end. The temptation increased, became strong, but he was tempted every single day during the 40-day period he was in the wilderness. And he experienced all that as man. He didn't face that as God. He faced that as man. There's some things that Jesus said about himself that's really important to always be reminded of. This is John chapter 8 and verse 26. Jesus said, "I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you." He's talking about the Pharisees. "But he who sent me is true, and the things which I heard from him, these I speak to the world. For they did not realize that he had been speaking to them about the Father. And Jesus therefore said, 'When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak those things as the Father taught me.'" As God, Jesus didn't need to be taught anything. As God, Jesus didn't need to wait to hear what the Father was going to say something. But Jesus did that, lived that way as man. He was taught by the Father. He spoke those things, he says in verse 26, that he heard from the Father. Those are the things he spoke, he did. He didn't do anything on his own initiative. God can do everything on his own initiative. So again, Jesus says he was taught. In chapter 5, Jesus therefore answered in verse 19 and was saying, and the language here is that he was repeatedly saying to them. So it was important to him to get this in them. He was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, that you may marvel." There are two accounts of the experience of Jesus in the wilderness. Mark refers to it, and it's just something a little short, which is classic for the book of Mark. It's just the word "immediately" is the most dominant word in the Gospel of Mark. There's an urgency about everything in the Gospel of Mark. But what it says is that the Holy Spirit thrust through Jesus into the wilderness. In the Luke 4 passage, it says that Jesus was led about in the wilderness by the Spirit while being tested. But the Matthew passage sort of confirms what Mark said. The Matthew says, Then Jesus, this is after the filling of the Holy Spirit, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. God was very intentional. Now, one of the things that encourages me, that makes me want to read the Gospels, is not just to read the Gospels and see Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of God, and marvel at the life he lived, but to be discipled and mentored by the life that he lived, because again, he wasn't just an example of the Messiah. Jesus was the example, as second Adam, of a man in relationship with God. And Jesus said in John 14 and other places that he was in the Father, the Father was in him, and now we're in Jesus and Jesus is in us. So this union relationship, John 14:10, Jesus said it was the Father in him doing the works. This is all familiar stuff for us. We've talked about this a lot over the years, but it's great to be reminded of that. The Father in him did the works. Nothing that Jesus did was the result of his own independent activity. Everything Jesus did was the result of the Father doing that through him. An example of us, not just an example for us. And so I love to read the Gospels because I see how Jesus, I can observe how Jesus cultivated his relationship as the Son of Man with the Father. Things like his prayer life, things like fasting, his obedience, things that he said, I always do those things that are pleasing to the Father. And the level of anointing that he walked out, not just as Messiah, but as the Son of Man, just encourages me. It's like the best book you can buy in the bookstore about how to live the Christian life are the Gospels. And then you want to read the things about Paul as the next volume that you read from the bookstore, because then he gives a lot of practical examples of that life. That's why Jesus was always inviting the disciples to do what he was doing, because that's the whole point. So when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, I'm absolutely convinced that Jesus was aware of what was happening, and he was aware of what he was being launched into. He wasn't just being launched into the wilderness, he was being launched into the wilderness of battle. Because Jesus said, the Father always shows me what he's doing. That's why I read those verses, so you'd understand. I don't believe, therefore, this was an exception. Out of his union with the Father that he so cultivated, that he was so sensitive to the Father's activity, Jesus said, I always do those things the Father is doing, and the Father's always showing me what he's up to. Man, that's such an example of union life for me that I want to go, wow, Lord, I want to know that in my own life. And so you remember also that, and I forget which one, I think it's in the Luke passage, that when Jesus came out of the wilderness, it says that the enemy left him until an opportune time, and then Jesus came forth in the Luke passage about in power. So there's a lot of dynamics going on here. There's this wilderness, and then Jesus starts his public ministry. I mean, we have no record of Jesus performing any miracle or any miracle being performed through him until after the wilderness experience. And so that's coming. That's just 40 days away. That's his public announcement in the synagogue that he's the Messiah. And so the conflict of that battle was going to be much more serious. The war was going to start there. Remember when Jesus said that and he just announced the fact when they read from Isaiah 61 that was him? And then they wanted to throw him over a cliff? That's pretty intense warfare. That was Jesus' first experience of public rejection. So the connection between the wilderness and all that happening, signs and wonders and miracles, the public rejection that he experienced, he was about to enter into all that. And isn't it interesting that the wilderness had to be a parenthesis, a transition into all that? And as I've said before, the opportune time that most people, when they talk about this scripture, they think about it was an opportune time because Jesus was so vulnerable. He had not had anything to eat for 40 days. He was hungry. Jesus was intensely equipped in his fasting. He went into the wilderness knowing what he was being thrust into, because the Father always shows him what he's doing. And so that's one of the reasons, at least, Jesus was fasting, so that he would be equipped fully for victory in this intense battle. But also, he was fasting. Why? Let me start this way. Fasting isn't primarily, or anything we do, about changing God. It's primarily about God adjusting and changing and equipping us for a life of perpetual breakthrough, which Jesus lived. I mean, Jesus didn't, like so often for Christians, we struggle. We go, oh, we finally get this breakthrough. Then we'll pray and contend, and we finally get this breakthrough. Jesus just walked through endless breakthrough from chamber to chamber to chamber. And it says about him in Matthew that he grew and increased in stewarding the favor or the grace of God. Because why? He was learning. He was an example of us. And so things, again, this is what I just want you to hear today, is that from his example, is that even though we're full in the sense that we have everything, Jesus had just experienced the Holy Spirit coming on him, remaining on him, and yet God used that wilderness to do things in him because there was something coming later. Anytime the Holy Spirit leads us into the wilderness, a wilderness to be tempted, to be tested, It's to change us, is to prepare us, is to equip us, is to do stuff in us because he knows there's something more to come, something that's powerful to come. And the enemy's trying to do everything he can to stop that. It's incredible how much warfare goes on in the context of God having opportunities for us to minister to people at some level, to allow him to do some cool stuff through us. Why is that so? Because the enemy is trying to stop it. The gospel reading is really powerful today. There is accountability we have for each other. There are things that leadership has to do sometimes to protect people. Sometimes protect people from themselves and themselves from other themselves. That's never fun. But look how God used Peter at Pentecost. And yet not many days before Pentecost, Peter didn't have a very good stretch. Like denying Christ and cuts the guy's ear off. But Jesus did what? Put the ear back on. So if you're going through some intense warfare, it could very well be because God's trying to do some stuff in you and he knows there's something big coming. But you have to understand also that the enemy's trying to stop some stuff. And even in the midst of the battle, if you've already blown it, then ask Jesus to put the ear back on and start walking again.
Amen.
And learn next time. Okay? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.